unregulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad you're with me on the program today. Oh, spring has sprung in Central Virginia, and it is the, it's known as the pollinating time of year here. It is, my allergies are so bad. So apologies if I sound a little scratchy and stuffed up, because I am a little scratchy voiced and stuffed up. Now, unfortunately, we are going to be talking about an infringement today on the right to keep and bear arms. We've been talking quite a bit this year about SB3 in Colorado, right? That is the sweeping semi-auto ban that would ban the sale and manufacture and transfer of all gas-operated semi-automatic firearms that can accept a detachable magazine. Now, that bill has been heavily amended in Colorado, right? It is now, I think, probably more accurate to call it a permit-to-purchase measure, because so long as you go through some additional hoops and hurdles, you can continue to purchase and sell these firearms in Colorado. But Colorado is not the only state dealing with a state-level version of the GoSafe Act, the gas-operated semi-auto ban that was first introduced in Congress by New Mexico Senator Martin Heinrich and Maine Senator Angus King. In fact, the state of New Mexico is considering a very similar measure, and one that has not been quite so heavily amended. Now, this has not drawn nearly as much attention as the Colorado bill, but it is just as bad, if not worse. So we're going to talk about it today with New Mexico Shooting Sports Association, Zach Fort, who has the latest details. And I will say, I mean, this is a new strategy for the anti-gun governor of New Mexico. She's been very vocal in the past couple of years about trying to ban so-called assault weapons. This year, she didn't mention gun control in her State of the State address. I kind of thought, well, maybe she's learned a lesson. I think she did learn her lesson, not to promote this, but to quietly go about her anti-gun machinations. So let's kick off the discussion with Zach Fort. Zach, it's good to see you again. Thanks so much for coming on the program today.
Thanks for having me on. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Listen, I wish the topic of conversation were better. But as I said in my introduction, you know, Michelle Lujan Grisham in her State of the State address this year did not mention gun control at all. And so clearly she learned her lesson for the past couple of years, right? Not the lesson we wanted her to learn, which was don't keep pushing these gun control bills. But I think she learned, okay, you know what? Maybe if I'm quiet, maybe if I let the legislature take the lead, then maybe I'll see more progress here. Because this semi-auto ban, unfortunately, is making progress in New Mexico, right?
Yeah, so the bill we're talking about right now is Senate Bill 279. Basically, it's a new idea being introduced at the state level, because typically when we see rifle bans at the state level, they're typically based on features, much as the same as the original act, the ban in 1994, the federal ban was based on features. So similarly, most state bans have been based on features. However, this bill would actually ban based on operations, basically effectively banning any firearm that is gas operated that has a removable magazine. It would then be up to the state attorney general's office to determine which firearms then met that definition of being gas operated. So there's a lot of ambiguity here, probably intentionally so, because it gives them a lot of leeway to basically ban the sale or transfer of a lot of firearms. For people who already had one of these guns, you would be allowed to keep it. However, and there's a big but here, you would have to register it with the state of New Mexico. So there would be an explicit gun registry attached to Senate Bill 279 for current gun owners. So even if you own you may be thinking, well, I own one of these. Why does this impact me? Unless if you don't want to register your firearms with the state of New Mexico, this bill will impact you.
So if you don't register, basically you're illegally possessing a so-called assault weapon.
You would also only be able to use a firearm on private property, meaning stuff for like hunting, shooting on public land. You would not be allowed to use your firearm for stuff like that.
Okay. Now, the Colorado bill, SB3, that is, I think, very similar to this, right? Both of these bills are based on the GoSafe Act, which was introduced in Congress last year by Angus King and New Mexico Senator Martin Heinrich. The Colorado bill was amended, right? I guess Governor Jared Polis said, what was the quote? He said, I'm not fundamentally opposed to the idea, but I don't really like hardware bans. So they said, all right, well, what if we basically attach a permit to purchase requirement, right? And so if you undergo additional training Which is weird, Zach. I don't understand this argument. Like, really, these are weapons of war that should be banned unless you know how to shoot them really good. And then you can own them. That's basically what the gun control advocates in Colorado are saying. But they've now amended this bill so that you can continue to purchase these guns so long as you've gone through some additional hoops and hurdles. And again, the state knows who you are, right? Got to have that requirement in there. New Mexico, as of right now, SB 279 does not have that provision, right? The existing owners are grandfathered, but no new owners if this passes.
Yes, it is an outright ban on the sale or transfer, meaning that there would be a way to pass down the firearm to your children, but you would not be able to sell it to a friend or anything like that. It also, I guess, you know, another caveat here we need to talk about is it also bans the sale or transfer magazines that hold more than 10 rounds. So, you know, just your basic Glock magazines that hold 15 rounds, those would also be banned. So you would only be able to buy 10 or fewer round magazines. Right now it's not a permit to purchase. It is an outright ban. They keep pushing it. You know, it did get through its first committee, Senate Judiciary, on a 5-4 vote. It was very close. But I also want to, you know, highlight here a couple things. They brought that bill in three times to that committee before it was finally passed because they kept changing it. It was, you know, it was the gas operated ban. Then it went to a features ban. Then it went back to the gas operated ban. And now it's sent to Senate Judiciary. It was already scheduled one time for a quote unquote like discussion, as they called it, with analysts, and it was pulled off and not done there. So the governor and her people behind the scenes are pushing really, really hard on this bill. What has been interesting is, you know, these various gun control groups like Everytown have been out there lobbying and pushing for it. And Everytown is 100% in on this bill. They've had a bunch of their lawyers here in Santa Fe testifying on behalf of this bill. This is what they want to pass. They are not saying, you know, this isn't the right way to do it. Everytown helped draft this bill. They are testifying as the expert witnesses on this bill because this is where they want to go. They want to ban, very categorically ban, a very large amount of firearms. So that's what's been going on. It's currently in Senate Finance. We're trying to hold the line there. You know, we've got a lot of people involved in the state right now. And thank you so much to everyone in New Mexico who is stepping up right now and fighting on this, because we have an opportunity to stop this. We have about just over a week left in this 2025 legislative session. It ends on noon next Saturday. So we have a real opportunity to stop this bill before the session is over. But we need everyone to keep pushing and keep fighting on this.
Okay, so let's talk about the timing of this for just a second. Next Friday, you say that's the end of the session?
It's Saturday.
Next Saturday
at noon.
Okay, and by the way, they'll have some late nights between now and then to try to get stuff done.
Absolutely,
right?
Will.
So this is SB 279. So we're talking about a Senate bill passed out of judiciary in that 5-4 vote. You say now it's before the Senate Finance Committee.
Yes.
Assuming it passes out of there, it would go to the floor of the Senate after that,
that
right?
Correct. Yes,
and then it would cross over.
Floor.
Could it be brought straight to the House floor, or would it have to go through House committees as well?
So there right now, behind the scenes, the sponsors are trying to do a bunch of stuff to try and ram this bill through.
Okay.
We're aware they're trying to actually get it out of Senate Finance without a vote ever being taken by Senate Finance. That's the current game they're trying to play. We would anticipate it would at least go to House Judiciary if it passes the Senate floor. It is possible they could go to no House committees, but we strongly anticipate that if it gets past the Senate floor, it would go to House Judiciary. That's kind of the anticipated. We probably only would be the one committee, House Judiciary, if it does go to that side. So right now, you know, we're really trying to hold the line here at Senate Finance. I think we have an opportunity to do so. The sponsors know that this is could be a weaker spot for this bill as this committee. So you'd like I said, they're trying to do what they can to try and pull the bill out without a vote being taken in Senate Finance.
Okay. And so what should New Mexico gun owners be doing right now? Where should they be directing their contacts?
Well, first, you know, tell the people at Senate Finance, you know, this bill is the most overreaching piece of garbage introduced anywhere in this country. Be more politically correct than that, so to speak. But, you know, tell them this is an overreaching ban. It would absolutely impact hunting. It would impact youth shooting sports. It would impact Mexico tourism. There are a lot of people on Senate Finance from northern New Mexico that Northern New Mexico relies very heavily on hunting and ranching those communities. So if you are part of those communities, please reach out to those members on Senate Finance, particularly those from Northern New Mexico, who need to hear from people who would be directly impacted by this bill and have their livelihoods impacted by this. So please focus on Senate Finance. Also, we're also telling people just contact your state senator in case they are able to pull out of Senate Finance. People need to know this is the worst. This would be the worst ban anywhere in this country. New Mexico doesn't have any restrictions on semi-automatic rifles today. If this bill passes, we would go from no restrictions to the worst in the country in a very short time period. People need to be aware of what's going on in Santa Fe, and people need to get plugged in. We have an opportunity to stop this. This is not a foregone deal. The governor's pushing hard, but you know what? There's a lot of people in New Mexico who don't want this bill. So please keep pushing. Contact your state senator, contact members of Senate Finance. Tell them this is the most overreaching bill in the country. The chair of Senate Joe Cervantes, he is a Democrat. He voted against the bill because he doesn't think it's going to stand a chance in court. He explicitly said that in Senate Judiciary. He said, I'm voting against this because I do not believe the state will stand a chance in court. That is the chair of Senate Judiciary. He is a Democrat. He does not believe this bill is going to stand up. People need to hear that. People, the rest of the senators need to know that you're going to be wasting Mexico taxpayer dollars supporting this because it's just going to get tossed down in court. Joe Cervantes, the Democrat chair of Senate Judiciary, said so. And anyone can go back and watch that hearing to see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and that's actually excellent information to include, right? Because you're certainly not going to hear that from Governor Grisham. And, you know, I'm glad to see that the national media is starting to pick up on this. Fox News had a piece about SB 279 yesterday. So hopefully raising some awareness. But this is not the first time, as you say, this is the most sweeping semi-auto ban that's been introduced in Mexico. Right. But the governor's been pushing for a semi-auto ban for the past, what, three sessions at least?
Yeah, this is, I think, the third year we've dealt with a semi-auto rifle ban.
Okay.
In some iteration.
Right. And, you know, again, the first two times she failed to get this bill across the finish line. I think last year it was in the House, but it never got brought up in the House committee. So it never reached the House floor. Right.
Yeah.
Which is an easy way for Democrat lawmakers to avoid having to cast that tough vote. Right. Having to buck the governor officially, just keep it bottled up in committee. Frankly, I don't know about you, Zach. I don't care how the bill gets defeated. I just want to see it defeated, right? If it stalls out, if it gets voted down, either way, as long as it doesn't get to her desk, I'm okay with that.
We are too. You know, we're pushing. We know that there are some Democrats who don't like the bill, but are going to be, if it reaches the floor, they're going to have a hard time voting against it because, you know, they've got all these, the huge amounts of every time money coming in, the pressure from the governor. So, you know, we're doing everything we can. We'll take any victory we can to stop a bill like this.
Yeah. Well, Joe Cervantes is right. I mean, if this bill does become law, it is going to get challenged in court. And I think it is going to get thrown out in court because it is essentially a ban on an entire class of firearms, right? I mean, the body of gas-operated semi-automatic long guns that cannot take a detachable magazine is slim to none, right? I mean, that's a very, very small number of firearms. So we are essentially talking about a ban on all modern sporting rifles and semi-automatic shotguns. And some semi-automatic pistols.
Yes, this is a very wide category of firearms. I would have a very hard time seeing how a court using the common use test that, you know, has been established by the Supreme Court to decide that a gas operated is somehow not in common use.
Right.
It seems a little odd to me, but and I do want to emphasize, you know, there's people from every town, they're pushing for this. Yeah. They're not saying this is not the way to do it. They're saying we wrote this bill because the bill sponsor can't answer questions about it. The people from the governor's office can't answer questions about it. So you need the people from every town to come out of the audience to answer questions about the bill because they're the ones who wrote it. That's what's literally going on, is they had lawyers from every town come out of the audience to sit at the table with the speaker to answer questions about the bill because the speaker and her original experts from the governor's office couldn't answer questions about it.
Holy cow. Can you imagine, Zach, what the reaction would be from Democrats and frankly, from a lot of the media in New Mexico, if there was a pro-gun bill and the Republican sponsor said, I can't answer this. Zach, can you come up here and sit beside me and answer these questions? I mean, they would be livid over that, right? Oh, he's just a tool of the gun lobby. So when you've got the Everytown attorneys who are basically serving as the de facto spokespeople for these lawmakers on this bill. Holy moly. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, it happened in the first committee. They basically, they had their expert witnesses who were lawyers from the governor's office sitting there with the sponsor. They none of them could answer questions about it. So then one of the people on the judiciary committee asked one of the every town attorneys sitting in the audience to come forward to basically answer questions about the bill.
Golly. That alone, I think, reason enough to kill this bill, but that's just me. All right, listen, Zach, I really appreciate you coming on the program. Before I let you go, I got to ask you, the New Mexico State Supreme Court last week issued its decision about the governor's public health emergencies regarding firearms. Now, this was not a Second Amendment question, right? This was not about whether or not these questions violated New Mexico State constitutional right to keep and bear arms. It was about the emergency powers that are granted to the governor, right? And the state Supreme Court essentially said the governor has broad leeway to declare these types of emergencies and to set these types of restrictions in place. Now, these orders have expired. So yes. It's not like we can go back and now re-challenge these orders on Second Amendment grounds. But what are your thoughts on what the state Supreme Court had to say about the governor's expansive powers to declare an emergency and, again, restrict people's fundamental rights?
Yeah, so I guess first, a little bit of the silver lining, it was a 3-2 decision. It was not a unanimous decision. Quite frankly, I can't say I'm very surprised by the decision of the New Mexico State Supreme Court. It's a very left-leaning group that had basically told her she can do whatever she wants on COVID orders. New Mexico had the most restrictive kind of public health orders in place to kind of, you know, ban certain types of commerce, activities, things like that from the governor. And they basically told her she could do whatever she wanted on COVID because there were numerous cases that made it to the state Supreme Court there. So based on that, I can't say I'm actually surprised they told her she could basically try to nullify the right to bear arms in the state constitution, because we have that in the Mexico state constitution. There's right, right to bear arms there. You know, they basically told her, you know, you can do whatever you want. So I can't say I'm surprised. You know, it was a 3-2 decision. So unfortunately, not all of the justices were on board with this, but still the majority were. I think it also undermines why my organization, the Mexico Shooting Sports Association, and myself personally, why we sued so quickly in federal court on Second Amendment grounds.
Yeah.
That was the immediate relief that we sought. We knew that we would have a much more fair hearing in federal court, even though we were put in front of a Biden appointee at first. We got, you know, he issued that injunction that we needed, or the TRO that we needed to stop that order from being enforced. So that's why we moved so quickly in federal court on this. It's unfortunate, but unfortunately, it's also not surprising what the state Supreme Court said.
Yeah. You know, I keep seeing stories about juveniles being caught with guns at Albuquerque schools. Of course, that was the sensible reason for this public health emergency in the first place, right? The governor said, well, we've got, you know, this gun violence happening among youth, so we have to stop adult concealed carry holders from lawfully carrying. Again, don't understand that logic. But how concerned are you that now that the state Supreme Court has basically given the green light to these orders, that she's going to go back and reissue some of these restrictions?
I don't know if there's any governor in this country that likes to do like public health orders to dictate the way people live their lives more than Michelle Lujan Grisham. She did it on COVID. She's done it on guns. And I suspect she may try to do another stuff too. There's probably a lot of different areas that a progressive governor could try to declare public health or emergency order on. I think it also, you know, it underscores why it's really important that to have good federal justices, because when you don't have relief from state justices that are moved so far to the left on some of this stuff, that you need to have that check from the federal system. So we'll continue to advocate in federal court as we need it. You know, we've never filed lawsuits in state court since I've been here. People sometimes ask me why, and it's like, well, here you go. This is the reality of what's going on in state court right now. But I also think that we're really going to have to work in the federal courts. And also, hopefully we get some better justices on the 10th Circuit, which unfortunately the 10th Circuit's not as pro-gun as people realize. It's kind of the 9th Circuit light, as I like to call it sometimes. But I think we have an opportunity to get some better justices on the 10th Circuit so we can get, you know, some better rulings in New Mexico, and also for our friends up in Colorado. You know, if you're in Colorado, get active. You know, there's some really great people we've been talking to through all this, because, you know, they're going through their rifle ban as well. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of become friends here between New Mexico and Colorado. You know, we're both in the 10th Circuit. We're both fighting these rifle bans. So if you're in Colorado, get active in your state too. So that's absolutely just kind of my Employation for people today.
Absolutely. And it's great advice. I hope that folks follow it in both Colorado and New Mexico. And Zach, as always, man, I really appreciate what you're doing there. All of the work of the New Mexico Shooting Sports Association. And I look forward to having you back again. Hopefully next time we've got some good news to discuss about the defeat of SB 279.
That's what we're working on.
All right, Zach, have a great weekend, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. You too.
And thanks to Zach for joining us on the program. Looking forward to having him back again here very soon. Right now, let's turn our attention to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. We'll start there with a case out of Louisiana where Attorney General Liz Merle says that a woman connected with the death of a Kansas City sportscaster during a Super Bowl weekend should not have been out on the street, should not have been out on probation, as she was, apparently. At the time of Adam Mazzano's death, he was on assignment in New Orleans covering the Super Bowl for Telemundo and Tico Sports. He was found unresponsive in his hotel room in Kinner, Louisiana, back on February the 5th. 40-year-old Danette Colbert was arrested on February the 7th by police in Kinner, Louisiana. They found Manzano's cell phone and credit card in her home in Slidell. Surveillance footage captured at the hotel shows Colbert entering with Manzano between 4:30 and 5 a.m. on the morning of his death and then leaving alone shortly thereafter. She allegedly used his credit card at several stores in New Orleans starting at 7 o'clock that morning. During a February bond hearing in Jefferson Parish, a police detective from Kinner testified that Manzano had the antidepressant alprazolam in his system when he died, also known as Xanax. Colbert, according to Merle, has a history of drugging men and stealing from them. And when detained in connection with Manzano's death, Colbert was already on probation after having been convicted of multiple felonies last November of 2024. In a statement to the Kansas City Star on Wednesday, Attorney General Liz Merle said that Colbert should not have been eligible for probation under the prior charges and therefore should not have been freed on the night that Manzano died. She said, "Our position is that the original sentence was not eligible for probation." Now, the DA in Orleans Parish has filed a motion to revoke that probation, which would lead to a potential new prison sentence for the felonies back in November. But again, why was she out if she had just been convicted of multiple felonies 4 months earlier? We still don't know the answer to that question. But Liz Merle certainly raising those questions, and hopefully we'll get some answers here. Today's Armed Citizen story from Indiana, where the Supreme Court has ruled that an individual was acting in self-defense when he shot and killed a man, overturning his conviction on felony battery charges. The opinion from the Indiana State Supreme Court says this is a case about a good guy with a gun shooting a bad guy with a gun when the only choice were to shoot or be shot. And because Antonio Turner shot the man before the man shot Turner, Turner is the defendant rather than the victim in this case. According to court documents, Turner was studying with some of his college classmates when one of his friends, quote, love interests called. And when the caller learned that Turner was there at the home, he threatened to attack Turner over the phone. Turner was a little freaked out, so he walked out to his car to grab a gun that his mother had given him. And then he, according to reports, sensed an unfamiliar car barreling towards him. He ran. At one point, though, he turned and he fired four shots into the car. Court records state that the man who threatened him over the phone was in the car and was hit amidst the gunfire. Now, the car's windows were tinted. So prosecutors said, well, Turner wouldn't have recognized this guy if he saw him, right? An investigation revealed, though, that the man was actually aiming a handgun to shoot Turner just before Turner fired. The magistrate judge during the bench trial agreed that Turner's decision to shoot prevented him from being injured, but rejected his self-defense claim because of the tinted window, saying that without the benefit of hindsight, it was, quote, objectively unreasonable for him to fire at a car into which he couldn't see. So even though the other option would have been to be killed, he was supposed to wait. Supreme Court said no, that's ridiculous. They said that Indiana self-defense law does not deprive people of the benefit of hindsight when it is discovered that their actions were necessary in self-defense, even if that wasn't apparent in the moment. The opinion from the state Supreme Court says the state, Turner, and the trial court all agree that Turner is an upstanding citizen whose involvement here results from terrible luck leading him to the wrong place at the wrong time. Before this case, he had no criminal history. As the trial court described, he's led a law-abiding life. He has shown himself to be a productive, employed, and respected member of the community. And again, overturning his conviction because he was acting in self-defense. Finally, today, our good deed of the day in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. A bar employee in Kenosha, Wisconsin, who was able to help save a motorcyclist after a crash by putting her own skills to use. A very scary situation there in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Happened back on March the 9th. Emergency responders were called to the scene after a witness reported that the man was bleeding profusely from the neck. He was airlifted to a hospital in Milwaukee. At last report, he's still there in serious condition. Jennifer Sager is an employee at the bar Shenanigans. She heard the crash. She ran outside to help. She said she actually jumped over the bar and ran outside. She said, I saw the puddle of blood by his head, so I started yelling for somebody to give me something, but nobody was going fast enough, so I just took my hoodie off. I wrapped his neck up. I held pressure until the paramedics got there. She said, I was scared. She said, I kept talking to him, telling him, just keep breathing. I got you. They're coming. He wasn't responding, but his eyes were open. I could see him looking at me. She says that I just hope I helped him. That's all. I just hope he's all right, and I hope that he's good. Well, again, it appears that that motorcyclist is going to recover from his injuries. Thanks again to the quick thinking and fast actions of Jennifer Sager there in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Now, that's going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms, Cam & Company. And I want to thank you for being a part of the program as always. Looking forward to seeing you back here again on Monday. Have a great weekend. But be sure to check out BearingArms.com throughout Friday and the weekend. We're keeping you up to date on all of the latest Second Amendment news and information from all across the nation. And if you like what you see, I'd encourage you to become a VIP, VIP Gold, or VIP Platinum member. Just use the promo code FIGHT and get 60% off your membership. You get all kinds of exclusive benefits no matter what tier you join. But you'll also be supporting the independent pro-Second Amendment journalism that we're doing at Bearing Arms. We certainly do appreciate your support. We'll see you back here on Monday. Until then, be well. Be safe. And be free.